This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I want to thank everybody for taking some time out of their weekend and listening to our two-hour show, whether it's on the radio, on the podcast, or at our website, kereport.com. It's always great to see the listeners and see their responses, as well as all the emails that I get from everybody on companies, guests, and just general idea topics. Hey, it's enjoyable putting this show together every week. To kick off this week's show, I am joined by a relatively regular guest on our show, John Rubino. He is the founder and editor of the Dollar Collapse website, as well as author of a couple books, a few of them which I've read, and I've enjoyed every one of them. So, hey, John, let's start right off and talk about maybe some uneasiness in the U.S. markets that we have started to see about a week and a half ago. It's not a major rollover, but we were seeing a bit more volatility creep into the markets. And you pointed out something to me off mic that was talking about the debt measurements, a number of different debt vehicles that are soaring to record highs. Please share some of those details with us.
Hey, Corey. Yeah, we might just be seeing signs of an overheating economy, which leads to a rollover in the stock market here. Just lately, it was announced that mortgage debt is back up to 2008 levels, which was when the previous bubble burst. Student loans are at an all-time high. Credit card debt is at an all-time high. And auto loans are at an all-time high in the U.S. And inflation is starting to pick up. The last few readings have been above the Fed's target level. And this is leading to speculation that we've got at least a few more interest rate bumps coming from the Fed, with the next one being in December. Meanwhile, that is leading to a flattening yield curve in the U.S., which is another way of saying that short-term rates and long-term rates are converging. And that is a really reliable indicator of recessions. When the yield curve turns negative, in other words, when two-year Treasury notes yield more than 10-year Treasury bonds in the U.S., that is almost always followed by a recession. And we're trending in that direction right now. And in a couple of the bubbly markets out there, we're seeing signs of distress. The outflows from junk bond mutual funds are at near record levels. In other words, people are pulling back from risky assets, with junk bonds being the leading indicator of that trend. And subprime auto loans, which is the most conspicuous bubble that the U.S. has seen in the last few years, they're also starting to default at an accelerating rate. The private label subprime auto loans, not the big bank auto loans, but those written by private label companies that specialize in that, are really starting to blow up. The default rate is something like 10%. So you put all that together, and you get a picture of an economy that is, very possibly starting to slow down, with equities and bonds priced for absolute perfection. And so, as you said, we're starting to see some volatility creep back into the stock market, which isn't a surprise given all that other stuff. You know, stocks were down by 100 points on the Dow a couple of days ago, then up by almost 200 points, and now they're back down by almost 100 points again. And that kind of up and down volatility is a classic sign of the kind of cognitive dissonance that happens at peaks of markets, when you still got the buy the dip guys out there, but you've also got more and more nervous money being willing to sell and take profits. So you get these wild swings while the different forces in the market try to figure out what kind of an opinion they have in the aggregate. Frequently, not always, but frequently, that yields to a rollover. So if you start at a very high level, the market decides that maybe it's more scared than greedy, and you get a big drop in stock prices. Well, we saw that in 2000, obviously, when the tech bubble collapsed. We saw it in 2008 when the housing bubble burst, where stocks got extremely volatile before they plunged. So it's possible that we're seeing the beginning of something like that. And, you know, all I can say is it's about time. this bubble went on way too long. And if it's ready to burst, then good. It shouldn't have gotten this big. We shouldn't have taken on this much debt. And the effects of the bubble when it eventually does burst, you know, we can't know for sure that the money bubble, which is basically a global bubble in everything related to fiat currencies, we can't know whether this will be the bursting that we're seeing, you know, the early stages of right now. We'll only know in retrospect. But if it is, most of the bubble indicators that are out there are saying that it's time.
Well, one thing to consider, too, is this almost euphoric move that we've seen in the markets over the last year. The S&P and the Dow have been up 11 of the last 12 months, and the 1 month that it was down, it was so marginally down that it's hardly even a blip on the charts when you're looking at that. So it is one of these almost blow-off tops, you could argue, but again, so much of this has been fueled by easy money, and not just easy money in the U.S., easy money from around the world. The Bank of Japan, the ECB have been really creating credit and creating money at record amounts still. So that money naturally has been finding its way into the equity markets. But John, is it more about the money growth from central banks around the world, or is it going to be some of these sectors starting to roll over that get people nervous? Where's the balance here?
Well, the rip-roaring bull market we've seen in the last few years is all about central bank liquidity.
Absolutely.
And you're right, it's not just the Fed. You know, the Fed is sort of kind of tightening a little bit right now. And the European Central Bank is kind of sort of talking about tightening, but they aren't yet. And the Japanese Central Bank is just pedal to the metal easy right now. You know, they're still pumping out huge amounts of yen into the market. And money's fungible. You know, it doesn't matter whether you create euros or yen or rubles or Chinese yuan. Eventually, it all finds its way into the global financial system where it can be exchanged for other currencies and basically has the same effect on other countries as it has domestically for whoever's creating the money. So we won't be able to say that monetary policy is tight globally until the ECB and the Bank of Japan get on board and the Chinese Central Bank at least stops pumping out as much currency as it is right now. But we are seeing signs of that kind of a trend take hold, you know, with the signs of overheating in the U.S. market. The Fed, which has wanted to raise interest rates for quite a while because it needs ammunition in order to cut rates in the coming recession, because recessions always come and we're almost 10 years into a recovery, which means some kind of a slowdown has to eventually happen here. The Fed wants ammunition. They want higher rates that they can then lower without having to go too deeply into negative territory. So they want to raise rates, and this gives them an excuse to do it. And historically, that leads to a rollover in asset prices, which have been dependent on easy money. So, you know, we're heading that way. We may not be there yet, but this is what it's going to feel like when it eventually does start.
Well, just to wrap us up, the one market and chart that I'm watching the closest, and you even mentioned it, is this yield curve, this 10-2 spread that has been declining really ever since about 2012, but we're now at a level that we haven't seen in pretty much a decade. And whenever we do get close to zero, then people do start to worry about a negative yield curve, which then always leads to a recession. That is also been on the mind of the Fed, I think, by unwinding their balance sheet. They are trying to push the long end up, but we haven't seen any substantial moves there, and that has to be a cause for concern for people. But again, we're not negative territory yet, but we're definitely trending in that direction. John, unfortunately, we're out of time, but it's great having you back on the show, and have a great weekend.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. And continuing to listen to the first hour of the Weekend Edition. In this segment, I am joined by Ned Schmidt. He is a regular contributor to our site. Ned writes two newsletters, one on agriculture, which we discussed earlier in the week on Thursday, and one that focuses on gold called the Value View Gold Report, and that's what we're going to talk about here. Ned, as a general comment, the gold sector, I think there's no denying how slow it has been, how distracted investors are in everything from the U.S. markets to cryptocurrencies to even, hey, cannabis stocks. Let's just face it. There are other markets that have momentum behind them. Gold doesn't right now, but still long term, you are optimistic, aren't you?
Oh, in fact, I'm getting more optimistic as I look around and see the level of speculation in the U.S. stock market, the winding down of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, and gold is back to the point where I think it's underowned dramatically. People have been distracted by get-rich schemes.
No, I don't think you're going to get an argument that gold is underowned and underloved. It's not even really playing a big role in a lot of people's portfolios. But again, looking at the longer-term chart, we had the bottom that was put in December 2015 after that bear market, and then a higher low put in on December 2016, and then this year in 2017, and about the middle part of the year, seems like we had another higher low put in. This is all encouraging, but we didn't see a breakout above that 2016 run. Does that have you concerned at all that this year we were able to put in a higher low but not a higher high?
Do I wish it had happened? I think is the real question. Yeah, I'm just disappointed. But I think you have to look at this, that gold is in a rising trend, and it has been since the bottom in December 2015. Now, what's been holding gold up, and I actually think been pushing it up a little bit, is the massive undervaluation of gold relative to the U.S. stock market. And if you take a look at the ratio of dollar gold to the S&P 500, it hasn't been this low since 2007, when I guess gold was about, what, 600? And we all know what happened after that. So this speculative bubble in the U.S. stock market is now adding support to the gold because that undervaluation is so large. If you use the ratio of gold to the S&P 500, that ratio is at 0.50. The average is 1.14 going back to 1945. And if you use that average, today's S&P price, gold should be over 2,900. If gold is right at 1,280 or about where we're at, the S&P should be at 1,125, down almost 60%. That undervaluation gap is massive. I mean, we just haven't seen it happen very often in history. And what it usually says is the stock buyers are wrong and the gold buyers are right. And so as long as that undervaluation is there, there's some support for gold that'll fall into place. Now, you add to that that the Federal Reserve has started unwinding their balance sheet. In October, they reduced it by $10 billion. They'll do another $10 billion this month. Ultimately, that will have a negative impact on the stock market, and it'll be felt in returns. Returns will deteriorate, and we'll see people starting to recognize that the returns in stock market are poor, and the gold is becoming more competitive, and people will start making that switch. And that undervaluation, while it's not a market timing tool, those people that have bought gold when that undervaluation is that large ultimately did very well, going from 600 to 1,900. I'm actually optimistic because we've been so disappointed for the last 2 years. In other words, the sand has run through the glass, and we're starting to get the end of that.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Ned, and it just continues to be the fact that investors, I think, are just distracted by what's going on in the U.S. equity markets, but still, it has been encouraging to see gold hold around these levels as the U.S. markets have gone straight up. I think over the last 12 months, U.S. equity markets have been up almost 30%, and gold pretty flat. And usually you would think that, you know what, gold would sell off, but it hasn't. So maybe that general melt-up is more of a factor of people just not wanting to be all in one area. But again, talking about some of the gold stocks, when you look at GDX, it really hasn't done much at all this year. It's been, for the most part, positive. You look at a monthly chart, and the indicators that I look at are still just showing more sideways movement, no momentum to the upside or the downside. What are your comments on the lack of any direction in terms of GDX pretty much this whole year?
Well, I follow about eight or nine gold stocks, just to keep my hand on it. And I create a monthly index with those so that the index is constructed the way I want it. And it's been in a trading range for well over a year. And that trading range is very tight as I've ever seen one. And it now is looking like it will break out toward end of the year into January. So I think we could see a resolution of the calmness in gold stocks starting late December and into January. Now, part of the reason I believe that is that we're rapidly moving through tax loss selling. In other words, and there aren't that many tax losses in the gold stocks anymore. I mean, anybody that's had a tax loss took it 2 years ago. And so that should end by mid-December. And so we should see the gold stocks move higher into January. And the other reason I have that view is I think if we're going to see a low in gold yet this year, whatever that low might be, I mean, that low might be 1290. I don't know. It'll happen in December, from December 12th to December 16th, right around that FOMC meeting where everybody's expecting a rate increase. So I think we're kind of moving toward a December resolution that's going to give us a good late December and move into January. When you look at the U.S. stock market, this past 2 weeks, I mean, the stock market gods gave us a message. It was that Tesla broke into bear market territory. I mean, we don't even know this company is going to be selling cars next year this time.
All right, there you have it from Ned Schmidt. Ned, there's no denying these longer-term charts are showing an upward trend. It's just taking a while to really start to pick up steam. And I know some investors are getting bored and a lot of investors are distracted, but the fact of the matter is it's pretty encouraging, I think, to still be seeing gold holding where it is when there are all these other distractions.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed my conversation with Ned Schmidt. And along the same lines, talking about gold, I'm going to continue with my good friend Lawrence Rolston. He is the managing director of West Bay Capital Advisors. I think everybody remembers Lawrence from his newsletter back in the day. And you know what? Lawrence and I reconnected in New Orleans, and I was very interested to see how active Lawrence was and how much is going on almost behind the scenes in the gold sector, considering really how slow it continues to be this year. Now, Lawrence, we will talk about some of the ventures that you're getting involved in that I do think warrant some interest from our audience, but we'll get into that later. I just want your initial take on the markets currently in terms of precious metals, in terms of precious metal stocks, because it's been slow pretty much this whole year. What's your take on it?
Well, Corey, the short answer is I think this is the best time we've seen in a very long time to be investing in the market. You know, everybody looks at the market, and on average, it's treading water. But like any average, looking at an average is really misleading. There are a number of companies out there, in fact, quite a large number of companies that are up by a multiple in value over the course of this year. And some of these companies are up tenfold or more. It's the old story of the smart money, the people that really understand the market and the cycles in the market. They're out there they're not waiting for the market to go up and just hand them, you know, returns on a platter, but they're searching out companies that have got smart management teams, that have got business plans, that are adding value, and they are seeing returns on that effort. As I said, there's companies that are up tenfold since the start of this year on the basis of delivering good results, and those results are being realized by people that have taken the time to search out companies that are doing good things. But whether it's gold or base metals as well, we're seeing the same thing. Fundamentally, you know, the underlying markets are strong enough that if companies deliver results, they're going to get rewarded. And that's really where I'm focused, is on finding these good companies. You know, so many people, they wait for the market to take off, and then they jump in as the market is already rolling. And the danger in that approach is that so often you get stuck at the top, and by the time you get in, the markets have already had big gains. So it's the people that are coming in now that are searching out the good companies, getting big positions in those companies, those are the ones that are going to make the really good returns.
So, Lawrence, one argument that I know some of our listeners and investors have had is that even some of the good management teams and companies that are cashed up and a lot of drill programs that have been underway all year have been backlogged in the assay labs, and there's been limited results released, and even some of the best management teams are kind of shaking their heads saying, we just can't get as much done as we thought we would be able to when we started the year. Is that weighing on the markets too in your eyes?
That's a huge part of what's happening right now. And I have to say, one of the companies that I'm closely involved in, we're facing that, and it is frustrating beyond anything you can imagine. I've never seen labs so backed up as they are right now. You know, initially they told us it's going to be a month, and now a month has gone by and more, and then they're saying, still, we haven't even begun to, you know, get to your samples yet. So that's been frustrating. And, you know, investors, you know, they've learned in this industry over the years that often no news is bad news. So when the companies don't put news out, they assume it's because it's bad news and they're trying to hide it. So, yeah, that has been a huge frustration.
So, Lawrence, discussing what you're doing now, I know from talking to you in New Orleans, you're looking at a lot of companies, you're doing a lot of your own due diligence, and then you're also getting involved in helping them along. What are some of the maybe areas that you're focused on and potentially even some of the companies that you're working with right now?
That's a very big change for me. You know, during the newsletter period, I was completely independent from the companies. Now I'm taking a different approach. I'm searching out good companies. I'm taking a big position in the companies. And in a few cases, I'm actually getting involved and helping out. And, you know, I've been 40 years in the industry now. I've learned a little bit along the way. So it's in fact, I'm having a lot of fun with it. There's some very interesting companies and projects and some people that are really, really fun to work with. So start off with the company that, you know, I alluded to with the assay situation, Metallus Resources. We're exploring in the Golden Triangle area of northern BC. I was attracted to the company because of a really exceptional property position in the heart of what I see as being the most highly prolific metal-bearing area on the planet. Really, really top-notch geological team involved in it. We drilled a few holes and we're waiting and waiting and waiting for assay results. But along the way, the share price has had a pretty good run already. I don't think it comes close to recognizing the value that will be there if those assays are indeed what we hope they will be. So that's one situation. Now, a very different kind of situation is a royalty company called Metalla. And yes, it is confusing being involved in a company called Metallus and another one called Metalla. But the Metalla royalty is, you know, basically a startup royalty company. We started less than a year ago. And in that time, we've already put together over 20 royalties and streams. We're cash flowing about $6 million a year right now.
and looking actually to start paying a dividend fairly soon. We've got a really extensive pipeline of projects, but you know, a lot of the deals that we've done in the past have involved exchanging shares for royalties. And the deals that we're working on now, we expect to keep doing that. People want a piece of this company, which is really an emerging royalty company. So that's also a lot of fun, a very different level because we're focused on advanced stage projects and cash flow. But building up cash flow is something that's not all that common in the junior resource sector.
So, Lawrence, both of these are very much focused, or mostly focused, on precious metals, but you did earlier on mention base metals, too, and the interest that has come into that sector, a lot thanks to some nice moves in the base metals. It slowed down a little bit recently, but where do you stand on potential opportunities in that sector of resources?
Well, anybody that knows me or follows the newsletter will know that I'm fairly agnostic with regard to the metal. You know, deep in my heart, I think we're going to see moves across the board. We've already seen some fairly significant moves in copper, certainly in cobalt. You know, nickel hasn't begun to move yet, but the fundamentals are looking very, very strong. But I come back to the position that I've always taken, which is you don't want to speculate on a metal price. You want to invest in a company. And if you get the benefit of a rising metal price as a benefit, then that's a nice bonus. So Metallus, for example, is involved in nickel and copper on the same property as the gold. So that was really interesting. But some of the other ones that I'm looking at right now, and you know, I'm deep in due diligence on a few other companies. That are involved right across gold, silver. I really like the silver companies, but also copper and nickel, all of which I think are going to begin to get a lot more investor recognition in the near term.
Yes, it is. You're absolutely right. And hey, there, as I mentioned, there are some good things kind of in the background working on all these companies and in these different resources. But again, the market in the broad sense has been slow, but it is interesting to hear what you're working on right now and what you're following. Lawrence, thanks for joining us on this weekend show and have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Have you ever lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, pay close attention because huge discounts are now available in solar generators. Perfect for backup power outages and emergencies. Portable solar generators provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And, unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no dangerous fumes, and produces an endless supply of electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running secretly in your own home. Right now, get a $5,000 solar generator for just $995 while supplies last. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. GCN listeners, use coupon code GCN at checkout for this special offer. MySolarBackup.com. Use coupon code GCN. EMP protection available at an additional charge.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition, and in this segment we are going to focus on cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, with Valentin Schmidt, the business editor at the Epoch Times. Valentin has been on our show a number of times and is becoming one of my go-to sources for some up-to-date info on cryptocurrencies. I know that they're getting a lot of comments on our blog, and I've been taking a lot of my time to read up even more about the wide range of cryptocurrencies, now about 1,200 in existence, and, well, quite frankly, this skyrocketing price of Bitcoin. But Valentin, what we saw last weekend was very interesting with the launch of Bitcoin Cash, and Bitcoin Cash getting some more attention from the market, from speculators. And Bitcoin went through about a 30% correction in a matter of a couple days over the weekend. There's a lot of debate between what Bitcoin Cash is doing in terms of almost getting away from this decentralized theme that really Bitcoin is fundamentally based on. But as a comment here, what do you think about how Bitcoin Cash is changing some of the mentality around the overall cryptocurrency space, but more importantly, about Bitcoin itself?
Hey, Corey. Yes, I got into this space a year ago, like many other freedom-minded people and gold-minded people, mainly because I'm interested in freedom money, not managed by the government. And so I've been educating myself and reading up, and I don't claim to know everything, because there's really a lot people need to know and understand to really know something in the Bitcoin space. And you have to know the people. It's actually not that as straightforward as with gold, where you kind of know it if it's a fake or not. With Bitcoin, you have to know the people behind the different projects. You have to know the history. And you mentioned the 30% correction. So that was probably due to some massive manipulation or fear, because at the same time you had an absolute obvious pump of the Bitcoin Cash price. It went from 0.10 Bitcoin to 0.50 Bitcoin and collapsed back to 0.17 Bitcoin. So you had a Bitcoin US dollar sell-off and a Bitcoin Cash sell-off, and now Bitcoin bounced back because the attack apparently didn't make it. Now, I think it was an attack. I think the Bitcoin Cash people are trying to get attention away from Bitcoin. But I don't think this is a black and white debate as many people see it. I think this is a very interesting and nuanced debate. And although I agree more with the original Bitcoin theme, there's some interesting history that people need to know. So Satoshi Nakamoto, the founder of Bitcoin, the original programmer, he outlined in his white paper that he wanted Bitcoin to be digital cash. He said in a couple of email exchanges, and this is also true, that he doesn't think in order to achieve these more transactions on the blockchain, so Bitcoin it would be used as digital cash and transaction money, that bigger blocks are an issue. And this is how Bitcoin evolved from 10 kilobyte to 100 to 50 kilobyte to now we have 1 megabyte blocks where you can put in all your transactions. And those 1 megabyte, they can handle about 400,000 transactions per second. Now we got the SegWit upgrade, which is really also a block size increase. It sort of maximizes the original bandwidth. So it's about 400,000 transactions a second, which is not really much. And the blocks are always full, so you need to now pay sometimes to get your transactions confirmed quicker.
So, Valentin, this SegWit update was at the forefront of a lot of investors' minds in Bitcoin because it seemed like it came off the table at the tail end of last week. That's why we saw Bitcoin drop, Bitcoin Cash move up. But as we started to hear rumors at the tail end of this week, it seems like SegWit is back on the table, almost a SegWit 2.0 hard fork that we could be expecting. Again, mostly rumors, but please explain to our listeners what's behind the SegWit update and maybe some of the people involved.
This change was done by the Bitcoin core team, which basically provides the value behind Bitcoin. There's hundreds of people who program and patch it and try to upgrade it. And this is definitely, without a doubt, the most decentralized and the most competent programming team in the blockchain space. But they indeed did diverge from the original vision of Satoshi Nakamoto to say make Bitcoin a sort of daily payment currency, because if you wanted to do that on the blockchain, you would need incredibly big blocks. And we're not talking about the 8 megabytes of Bitcoin Cash. We're talking about gigabytes or 10 gigabyte blocks. If you want to replace Visa and MasterCard. Now, what does that do to the blockchain? Right now, the blockchain with all transactions since 2009 is about, 160, 180 gigabytes, less than 200 gigabytes. I downloaded it recently on my computer. And you can download it and you can run it. You know, it doesn't take too much bandwidth. You hardly even notice it. And now you can do it on a 500 gigabyte SSD, which is still, you know, within the most people in the developer can do that if they're into Bitcoin. But if you have 10 gigabyte blocks, then forget about that. You need basically a small server farm just to record the blockchain, and you need massive bandwidth. So this leads to centralization, and the Bitcoin core team has said they don't want that, and they are now pursuing more the vision of Bitcoin not as digital cash, but Bitcoin as digital gold, where basically you have a lot of value in a place. In the case of gold, it's sitting in a vault in London or New York, and in Bitcoin, it's on the blockchain. And you build a faster payment network on top of that. So with the case of gold, you would have paper and electronic claims on gold, and then you would trade it, and then you would settle it, and then maybe you move the gold, but just 10%, you know, whatever nets out. And something with gold, sometimes they don't even move it. So with Bitcoin, you could easily do that. And there is a company called Blockstream. They're working on the solution on top of the blockchain where you have quick transactions for daily purchases. And then that nets out and all the rest, a very small amount gets put on the blockchain. So they are now pursuing the vision of digital gold. Now, Blockstream is controversial in the Bitcoin space, and the Bitcoin cash people always try to make a conspiracy out of it, which there's some truth to it, but I don't buy it. Where basically, so Blockstream contributes a few programmers to Bitcoin Core. By no means can you say they are the most influential. I think it's about 4 or 5 people contributing to Bitcoin Core out of hundreds of developers. And you can check this. This is also all transparent on the internet.
So, Valentin, let me jump in here, because I think the whole idea around what Bitcoin's going through is this debate whether they want to increase the block size so that it can record these transactions easier. And the fact of the matter is, well, not the hardcore Bitcoin people who want this decentralization want this move. And by Bitcoin Cash and some of these other areas opening up the fact that there can be ways to change the way that these transactions are recorded on the blockchain, it's almost moving Bitcoin into, again, speculation, but something that's getting away from the fundamental reason why some of the initial people adopted Bitcoin, and that is this decentralization. So there's almost this internal power struggle going on within cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin, isn't there?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's a power struggle, but it's a complicated one because what you're saying is both true and not true. So Nakamoto, he wanted digital cash, and he didn't think big blocks would be an issue because he thought computing power would advance faster than it does, which it didn't, because the processing power is the storage. It hasn't grown as much as it used to, and neither has the bandwidth. So you're going to have a problem with huge blocks. On the other hand, he also wanted to have a decentralized, independent system. And the Bitcoin Core people, they say they saw that we don't have the computing power to accommodate those huge blocks, which was make it useful as a day-to-day transaction currency. Then the Blockstream people say we have a solution for that. We built a system on top of the blockchain to do that. Whereas the Bitcoin Cash people, they are really focusing on the day-to-day transaction part that Nakamoto talked about, but they are risking acentralization of the blockchain itself, and the network only works best if you have a lot of different computers running the full node, because otherwise you are trusting other people to run the full node for you, which means downloading the whole thing. And they basically think they can create bigger blocks. Now they have 8, then they think they can do 16, and they think they can do 32, and then they think they can do 10 gigabyte, which, to be honest, I don't think that would definitely lead to centralization unless we switch to quantum computing.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, but Valentin and I did continue our discussion on Bitcoin and some of the nuances that are going on behind the scenes. To hear that full interview, come visit our website, kereport.com, and click on the weekend show post. Everybody enjoy the second hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.